Senate Education Committee is called to order. Thank you for being here. Sorry for the delay and getting, we've got meetings going on and people are every place in subcommittee meetings and leadership meetings, but let's begin this process today. Today is March 26, 2019. Time is 9:09 a.m. In attendance are Senator Hughes, Senator Birch, and myself, Stevens. We have a quorum to conduct business. Today we'll be hearing Senate Bill 79, sponsored by Senator Hughes, the Educational Transformation Act. The intention today is to roll out the bill, to get it started, to have a conversation here on the table, hear from stakeholders and advocates, entertain questions and discussions on the bill, and hold it for further review. Just a further note, I do apologize, but I have to adjourn this at a little before 9, about 8:55, in order for several of us who want to attend the Senate Finance Committee hearing relating to a K-12 funding consideration. So we all want to be there for that issue. Any questions or comments before we start? Okay, well, thank you all for being here. Let's go on to Senator Hughes and opening comments you may have, Senator. Yes, please, if you're comfortable there. And Mrs. Morrison.
Good morning, Chair Stevens and member of the committee. I'm Shelley Hughes, Senator for District F, and with me today is, I'll let her introduce herself.
Through the chair, good morning. For the record, my name is Sheila Morrison. I am a Ted Stevens legislative intern through UAA, and I have the honor of interning with Senator Shelley Hughes, and luckily have the honor of presenting the bill with her today.
Thank you. We're pleased to have you with us, Sheila. Senator.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to make a few high-level comments, and then I will, with your permission, allow Sheila to go down in a little more detail, and then after that she can go through the sectional, if it pleases the chair. So we serve on this committee because we love our kids, our students, our youth across the state, and we want what is best for them. And everything we do in this committee, I know it's striving to give students a better opportunity. So this bill, I see it in doing three different things. It expands opportunities for students for access to courses and teachers they otherwise wouldn't have access to. It, as far as teachers, it requires, or it is trying to improve the quality of our teachers. And thirdly, it is providing opportunities for administrative efficiencies. And that all comes down to, we know that dollars in the classroom correlates with higher academic achievement. And so if we can find efficiency, that frees up dollars and we can get them where they need to be to help our students. So that's very high level. I also say that we all know and we've been concerned about the achievement gaps that exist. We certainly have some wonderful pockets of excellence in the state, but we also have places where we are, there's some students that we're not really grabbing their heart and getting them onto the finish line so that they can be successful. And that has been a concern of mine, and this has been a bill that I've worked on for 2 years. We want to put our students in the 21st century in a way that they can compete and be successful on a global basis. And so very much a portion of this bill is about moving us in doing the best we can in the 21st century. So with that, Mr. Chair, if it's good with you, I'll let Sheila kind of explain the main components of the bill.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Senator Hughes. And Sheila, if you'd go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Senate Bill 79, the short title for this bill is a virtual education teacher exam course exam. However, we'll be referring to it as the Education Transformation Act. A brief description of what this bill is doing, it creates a virtual education consortium to allow students to take virtual classes offered by other school districts, and teachers will be able to access professional development courses as well. The bill also increases the school district fund balance cap from 10% of operating costs to 25. It also increases the praxis scores that are required to be a certified teacher, and it's important to note there that the raising of the scores does not effective immediately and that students would be allowed to learn the material. Another portion of the bill allows students to receive credit for gym art and music classes if they participate in similar activities outside of school, including culture activities. The Administration for Professional Teaching Practices Commission will be provided by the department, which would eliminate some duplication. The bill also addresses the requirements for school districts to report on ratios between administrative employees and teachers and students. And I can go over, with your permission, the sexual analysis at this time, if you'd like.
That'd be great. Thank you, Ms. Morrison.
Okay. Starting on the bill on page 1, section 1, this creates the uncodified law for legislative findings regarding virtual education, education spending, quality teachers, and classroom instruction. And section 2 of the bill, which affects Alaska Statute 14.03.073, that one makes technical amendments to add references to specific subsections within these sections due to a new section that was added in section 4. So essentially, subsection A now refers to subsection B, and that should be underlined on the bill. Section 3, which also is a technical amendment and adds references to specific subsections within these sections, also due to the new subsection of 4, and that subsection B now refers to A, and that is underlined. Section 4 of the bill, which affects Alaska Statute 14.03.073 also, on page 2, adds a new subsection E that's requiring school districts to allow course credit for career and technical education, physical education, music or art classes for activity, including a cultural activity outside of school hours that meets the educational or professional activity requirements of the course. Section 5, which is on page 3, is amended to add a requirement that the Department of Education and Early Development submit an annual report that they provide to the legislature and to the school districts as well. The deed report will need to include a summary of categories of administrative employees for each school district, which includes the ratio of the administrative employees in each category compared to the number of teachers and to the number of students in the district, and the ratio of the number of teachers to the number of students. Section 6 of the bill is amended to add a new subsection which requires the school district to post the portion of the report that pertains to the school district for public on the district or community's website or through another easily accessible method. And it defines the term administrative employee in subsection D. In section 7 of the bill, it amends to increase the limit that the school district is allowed to retain in its unreserved fund balance from 10% to 25% of the district expenditures. This section also allows for savings realized from a cooperative grant under Alaska Statute 14.14.115 to not count towards the 25% limit. Section 8 of the bill is amended to require the state school board to periodically adjust the minimum score needed to pass the praxis exam so that the Alaska is equal to or higher than the testing standards for teacher certification among the 50 states. Section 9 adds a new subsection to require DEED to provide administrative support services to Professional Teaching Practices Commission. Section 10 is amended to require the PTPC to use administrative support services provided by DEED. That is subsection 4, and it is a technical cleanup. Subsection 11, which creates the new section titled Virtual Education Consortium, which also creates a new article titled Article 15, Virtual Education, and the subsections of which Alaska Statute 14.30.760 consists are the following. In subsection A, it establishes the Virtual Education Consortium under DEED, and the consortium will have a database of virtual education courses available to all district students in grades 6 through 12. The consortium will also provide training for teachers instructing in virtual settings and professional development for all teachers in the state. A school district or third-party vendor may offer courses on the database if it is approved by deed. Section B will require that deed will require deed to review each course to ensure it meets the state standards and is appropriate for students in grades 6 through 12. This subsection also requires that each course has the following information: the title, subject, description of the course, district providing the course, method of virtual education delivery, and samples of the curriculum. The video introduction by the instructor, and if a synchronous course, the video of the instructor teaching. In subsection C, this requires the consortium to provide training for teachers before they are allowed to teach a course that is included in the database. A waiver may be granted if the consortium finds that the teacher has the experience and skills necessary to teach in a virtual setting. Subsection D of the bill of Article 15 requires that the consortium provide professional development courses for all teachers in the state. Any district that has adequate broadband access to participate in the training shall require its teachers to participate in any necessary training. The consortium may also require participating districts to adopt the same in-service days for training. Subsection E sets a fee structure for students that take a course offered virtually by a school district that is not in the student's home district. The student's district shall calculate the fee by multiplying the base student allocation by the proportion of classes that the student is taking in the district offering the virtual course. The student's district may pay this fee to the district offering the course. In subsection F, the consortium is allowed to charge a fee to any school district that offers a course in the database under subsection B. Deed will be available to set the fee in regulation and can adjust it as necessary annually. The fees must be set in such a manner that by June 30th of 2020, the fees paid by districts will approximately equal any administrative costs of the consortium. Subsection G allows the consortium to require districts that provide courses or have students taking courses through the consortium to adopt a shared calendar and a shared bell schedule for at least a portion of the school day. Subsection H requires the definitions of the terms asynchronous base student allocation, blended host district, and synchronous and virtual education and virtual instruction definitions. Subsection 12 creates the uncodified law by adding a new section regarding virtual education availability deadline of this act on or before July 1st of 2020. Section 13 provides for an effective date of Section 15 through 12 of this act to take effect immediately under Alaska Statute 01.10.070, subsection C. Section 14 on page 8 provides for an effective date, except as provided in Section 13 of this act, and this act would take effect July 1st of 2020.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your explanation, Ms. Morrison, of the sectional analysis. It looks great. I just one tiny little phrase or word that I on Section 4 at the bottom of it, you talk about outside of school hours that meets the educational or professional activity requirements of the course. I think you said professional, and in my copy it says physical. I was trying to think, what does that mean? But you mean professional, right?
Yes.
Okay, we'll make that change so we understand that. Great, thank you very much. Senator Hughes, anything further at this point?
I will just say I'm honored to have some folks here that for invited testimony, and they're already giving us good ideas for some improvement. I might note one of them regarding the consortium, as the sponsor and someone who might order a committee substitute, I believe a working group to develop the consortium and how it would work would probably be a good idea, so the districts would be able to weigh in and craft it in a way that will work for their students. So that's one recommendation. And I don't want to take the invited testimony time because they've gone to the trouble to be here, so.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. I appreciate that. I appreciate your comments, and we will try to get everyone in the few minutes we have left, and thank you very much for introducing the bill. Very interesting and anxious to get into the details of it. Thank you.
I would say that there is a handout on the Praxis scores that we were able to find, and
right.
You know, the quality of teachers is important. That's just one aspect. There are multiple ways to make sure we have good teachers ready to go in the classroom. But when we realized our scores in a number of subject areas, content areas, lagged considerably other states, that handout demonstrates that. We highlighted a few examples so you could see that. So I just wanted to point that out on the record.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. So thank you, Senator. Thank you, Sheila. I appreciate your presentation. Let's move right on to our invited testimony, beginning with Commissioner of Education, Dr. Michael Johnson. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you, Chair Stevens. For the record, I'm Michael Johnson, Commissioner of Education and Early Development. Thank you, Chair Stevens and Senator Hughes, for the opportunity to be here. It's always a privilege to appear before your committee. Senator Hughes asked me to be here today and comment on SB 79. But before I do, I just want to take the opportunity while I'm in front of the committee to thank you, Chair Stevens and Senator Hughes, and you can pass along to the other members. Just my appreciation for all the education bills that have been introduced and discussed in the hearings here in this committee, middle college, physical education, pre-K, early funding, just to name a few. Your willingness to provide the opportunity to discuss and develop these important policy areas with Alaskans is very much appreciated. So thank you for the time that you've dedicated to all of those. Likewise, SB 79 includes important policy considerations that have the potential of providing support for students, educators, and school districts. It can serve as another component of the Alaska Education Challenge priority areas of equity and closing the achievement gap. As the bill states, and I quote, access to quality classroom instruction, whether through virtual education or traditional delivery modes, is important to the success of every student in the state. And though there are several components of the bill that I won't walk through that you just heard about, I'm a particular fan of using technology to extend the benefit of great teachers to more and more students in our state. One way to do that is come alongside districts with a virtual academy. And I appreciate Senator Hughes' willingness to work with all our shareholders. With input from stakeholders such as those in the room here and others, I look forward to see how the bill and its other components, as well as the other bills that have been introduced in committee, will develop over this session and the next. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Appreciate your comments. And Senator Hughes mentioned that her intention is to do some more work with all the stakeholders on the consortium. And are you comfortable with that? Is that something that we do need to be doing?
Chair Stevens, absolutely. To continue working with Senator Hughes and whatever group that she may pull together, we're all in.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments, Senator Hughes. Thank you. Thanks very much, Dr. Johnson. Appreciate what you've had to say to us and look forward to hearing from some others here. Jerry Covey. Mr. Covey, always good to see you in town. You're not always here, but sometimes.
Sometimes. Good morning, Chair Stevens, Senator Hughes. My name is Jerry Covey. I'm an education consultant based out of Anchorage. I'm here this morning on my own behalf. Senator Hughes was kind enough to invite me to share some insights on this bill, which I'm very pleased to do. My comments perhaps will be rather general, as I'm not up to speed on all the details of every component of the bill, but overall, I as Commissioner Johnson does, I support the bill very strongly. I think it contains some very good ideas. And as I read through the bill, I see a lot of things that I think we're, some of which we're already moving in that direction and doing. And so I just touch on a few highlights and then answer any questions you might have. Looking at Section 4, adding the option of credit for CTE courses and music and art courses. I see some districts are already moving in that direction, and I think that's an appropriate thing. It's a recognition that not all good education occurs within the confines of the classroom, and so we strongly support that. I'm sure superintendents would agree with that. The Section 5, on the reporting, as I understand it from talking with people at the department, there's already a move in that direction as well. The transparency in Section 8, I think providing more transparency to stakeholders is an appropriate thing to do, so I think that plays out well for everyone. With the acknowledgement, of course, that local districts deploy their resources as they see as most advantageous to their students. So, I think it does provide additional stakeholder information. I'm not sure that it is valuable in terms of making comparison district to district, because every school district has unique circumstances and needs, and they organize accordingly. So. Moving on, I had to smile when I read Section 7 about increasing the fund balance. I think that's a long overdue thing and most appropriate. The praxis test, moving on, I just like to comment briefly on that. I read some recent research, very recent, on praxis and how it plays out across the nation. And what we're finding is that 46% of people who are seeking elementary ed certificates across our country pass the praxis on the first time. And the reason that they're not passing the praxis has more to do with the pre-work before they get into the education program than it does to anything else. And so I think it's an appropriate thing to be looking to increase the requirements on the praxis. But I think it is also appropriate, along with that, to work closely with the university and with high schools to make sure that the content areas that the practice covers are well addressed. And according to this research, what they're saying is a lot of the coursework that the practice covers could be covered in the first 2 years of the university program for students, and that would increase their chances. So, while I think we're all supportive of raising the bar and having a highly qualified workforce, I think there's some steps we can take to advance that and help this along. So, I would be happy to share with both of you that report, because it's just out a month ago, and I think it has some great insights in it. The other major part of this for me is the Virtual Education Consortium. I think it's a great idea, and it's a very dynamic field, and there's many moving pieces, and our best experts are the superintendents in the district, so I think engaging them in some type of a task force or work group would be most appropriate and provide the best results. So I'll stop there, and thank you for the opportunity. If you have any questions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kevin. I appreciate your comments and particularly your thoughts on the praxis. And if you would, to share that report with us, I'll make sure that everyone can get a copy of it. And
definitely.
Great. Senator Hughes.
Yes. You pointed out a word in that praxis section. I believe the word was periodically, that the state
yes,
board
would
adjust
did.
Periodically. Thanks. What would you recommend would be a good amount of time interval?
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I would think a minimum of 3 years. If we're going to make changes, we have to allow time for the system to incorporate those changes and produce some results. And looking at this latest research, if we're looking at what's causing people not to pass the praxis on the first attempt, this seems to point to a cause. And so to address that cause, I think we need to have a lot of time for the university and high schools to make a move that will address that need. So I also think you would get expert input from your superintendents on your working group along that line as well. But I would say 3 to 5 years is generally where I would be looking. And thank you.
That, Mr. Chair, the word periodically was definitely open for interpretation, so I appreciate that input, because I would think that might be an improvement to pin that down in the bill, possibly. Thank you.
Could I ask you one really probably fundamental question here? I'm looking at the Praxis results, and it shows, well, the question is about what does ROE mean? If I'm maybe you don't know it either. If you don't know it, then
than me, sir.
Okay, it might be some kind of an average, or and maybe the department can help me here. So it's like biology, content knowledge, ROE 179, Alaska's at 144, Rhode Island 157. Maybe you can help me understand that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Covey. Appreciate your time. So we will then move on to Jim Anderson from Anchorage School District. Is Mr. Anderson here? Is Mr. Anderson online? Jim Anderson, CFO of Anchorage School District. And we also have a note that Dina Bishop may be here as well. Okay. Dina's online? Okay. Superintendent Bishop, thank you for being with us. Can you hear us?
Yes, thank you, Senator. And I did want to state that Jim Anderson couldn't be there because he was in another meeting at 8 with the change of the time. So I regret that, but we are happy to answer any questions. I want to start by thanking you, Chair Stevens, as well as Senator Hughes. Thank you for this opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 79, the Education Transformation Act. The first sentence in the sponsor statement is that every Alaskan student matters and deserves a high-quality education. The Anchorage School Board and I agree with this vision, and this bill speaks to our students' future. We are in the 21st century, and we can all agree that learning is quite different for our students today than it was for us in this room. Fundamental skills are paramount, providing the grounding for learning throughout school and life. These skills will help students learn to learn throughout a lifetime. However, 13 years of K-12 education providing content on constructs will not last anyone a lifetime. Information growth is exponential in the technological world. E-learning will enable every person to access knowledge and understanding for a lifetime. I want to share that providing virtual learning can be a powerful tool in our state. Over the last 10 years, the knowledge around virtual learning has grown in Alaska districts. I encourage the body to provide a virtual learning working group of sorts to gather the expertise from around the state and provide input from those with boots on the ground to come up with recommendations for policy decisions. I like most the statement to provide professional development in support of teaching virtually. The skills in our classrooms can easily transfer to virtual learning. However, we must not utilize virtual learning in the context of a Carnegie unit or the parameters of the traditional classroom learner to gain credit. Online learning is about the any place, any time, any pace, and is not bound by time in a seat. Whether virtual learning is asynchronous, synchronous, and/or blended, all of these practices speak to individual learning, which is key to 21st century skills. Students can meet their dreams with the influence of virtual learning. This bill also asks for Alaskans, both in rural and urban towns, to work together for all Alaska's children through a consortium, which will bring we school districts closer together, providing equity for students with our effective teachers. Thank you for allowing me to testify this morning. The future for Alaska students is key to our success. Their success is our success. And 21st century success is built around utilizing technology to complement and accelerate our learning and opportunity. Thanks again for this opportunity to speak to you, and I look forward to all the good things we can do for students in our state.
Thank you, Superintendent Bishop. Appreciate your being with us. We also have Senator Begich and Senator Birch at the table now. Thank you very much for being here as well. Any comments or thoughts you may have, Senator Hughes, in response? She brought the issue, the superintendent brought the issue of a working group, and I think you're quite comfortable with that. Is that correct?
Yes, in fact, that idea came from the Anchorage School District, and I think it's an excellent one, so that I know Dr. Bishop, both at the Anchorage School District and in Matt School District, was a pioneer working with Kathy Moffitt on some of this, so I think that expertise would lend well to the deeds development of the court consortium.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bishop. Let's move on then to Kim Burgey, who was also online. Kim Burgey is educational consultant, former Alaska school superintendent. Kim Burgey, are you with us? Kim Burgey, unavailable now. Well, let's move on then to the department for a fiscal note, if somebody can come up and talk to us about that issue.
Hi. For the record, my name is Deb Riddle, and I'm the Division Operations Manager for Student Learning in the Department of Education. So the fiscal note for this one revolves mostly around the consortium piece, and we proposed seven positions for this. It takes, for all of the vetting and organizing and maintaining of the consortium, and so that turned out to be for the personnel services, 806.4 for each of the years with the associated costs of 67.2, and that would all come from the general funds.
Thank you. Any questions on the fiscal note?
I'd actually have a question for the commissioner.
Certainly.
About the fiscal note. If
Ms. Commissioner, would you come back to the table, please?
For the record, Michael Johnson, Commissioner of Education and Early Development.
Mr. Chair. In lean times, this is, we always like bills to have very low or no fiscal notes. This has one that is not low or zero. And I'm just wondering whether you think this is an investment worth making, if it were your decision, if you were the appropriator. do you think it is a good investment and will give us a return of better learning for our students?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes. Like I said before, I'm a fan of using technology to extend the benefit of great teachers to more and more students. So. Absolutely, I think any investment that we can make in extending, we have a lot of great educators in the state, and extending the benefit of that to more and more kids around the state, and that's, in my opinion, one of the wonderful privileges of living in 2019, is that we have the ability and capability and opportunity to do that in ways that we haven't had in the past. So. I absolutely think so. I think as the bill develops, as we work with stakeholders, and I know we've already begun discussions at the department and are more than willing to participate, help lead those groups to discuss how this develops, it may be that we find ways to do it more efficiently than this first run through it and make it even more affordable, all without ever letting go of the commitment to extend the benefit of great teaching to as many kids as possible.
Okay, thank you. While he's here, can I ask questions that aren't particularly related to the fiscal note, since
sure,
we've got him back up here?
I'm
just wondering, we had the chair's bill, I believe, on the middle college concept and access to university courses. Do you see that that this possibly could tie into that, and that online university consortium, online university courses could be embedded into the database, so students that are looking for a course to take might choose a university course? Do you see that as a possibility?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I see that as a possibility, but I also see that as a reality. So it's already happening. Districts are providing students with opportunities for AP courses online through dual credit, CTE. And I would even, so I would say absolutely it's reality for post-secondary, but I would even say for other bills that have been introduced, like pre-K, technology has great opportunity to benefit on that end, too. So, you know, as we've seen in other parts of society, technology, I think I've said this many times, technology doesn't replace a teacher. It extends the benefit of great teaching to more and more kids, pre-K all the way through college. And so with the middle college idea, I would suggest that making that as robust as possible will include the use of technology.
Okay, thank you. Another question. A lot of people have been looking at the SB 79, and someone asked if I would be open to, and actually the bill is now in the chair's hands. It's out of my hands because he's controlling it. But the ratio of administrators to students and teachers that the districts would be providing for the annual report that your department assembles suggested maybe that we specify classroom teachers as opposed to teachers that might be functioning in another role. And so I would ask if you think that is a good idea. And I also want to note, and I appreciate Jerry Covey's comment that every district is unique and the requirement that this be available to their community if there are unique circumstances, a district could certainly explain why they might have a certain number of, explain those numbers in the ratio for their unique circumstances. They would certainly, we don't specify that in the bill, but there would be nothing to stop the public. But specifically, classroom teachers, the ones that are engaging with students on a daily basis, would it be good to kind of make sure that that is in, clearly stated in those ratios that are reported?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I need time to think through exactly what that reporting is. I think, though, that I can address the question by saying I think it's important for every school to prioritize the classroom. But I also think that when we the ratio is important, so I don't disagree with anything you said. But I think that we what we call administration and what we call classroom teachers, sometimes that's not a line drawn with a lot of contrast. The fact is principals are very, very important to the classroom. And so if you draw too stark of a distinction between identifying principals and classroom teachers, you may actually hurt the classroom because principals are really important to maintaining great classrooms and supporting teachers. So having said all that, working through that, I think it's imperative that we provide to families, communities, legislators, stakeholders, school board members as much information about their schools so they compare that to other schools and see if what somebody else is doing may be something that they want to consider. So I think anytime that we can report information in a way that's helpful, that's a good thing.
Sir Hughes.
And as we heard yesterday in the joint meeting, we had a principal who was actually filling in and teaching a class, a music class, I believe. And so those are the kind of things certainly a district would could explain as they do the report. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That, and I'll get to you, Senator, on that issue. I know there are often, this is the wrong term, but hearing teachers who help kids who have hearing difficulties. They're not a classroom teacher, but then neither are they administrators. So I assume there are other positions like that throughout our school districts that where you draw that line is pretty crucial. So where would you draw the line for a teacher who's only dealing with kids with have hearing issues? Is that the administrator or a teacher?
I Chair Stevens, I think in the description that you gave, that's a teacher.
Right.
But I also give a shout out to all the school bus drivers out there. They teach every day. Kids get on the bus and they teach them how to be respectful and sit on the bus, and they do a lot of teaching. Almost everybody involved in public education, if they embrace the opportunity, has the opportunity to teach kids.
This is a very good point, Commissioner. I just recently found that one of our long-term school bus drivers has retired in Kodiak, and I met her at a reception years ago, and she said, "Oh, you're Matthew's father." And so I was thinking, wow, she is the teacher as well. You're right. Very good. And Senator Birch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question back on the fiscal note. It says, in addition, this bill amends 1417-505 by increasing the limit that a school district is allowed to retain in its unreserved fund balance from 10% to 25% of district expenditures. And that seems pretty significant to me. And I was wondering do we have a sense through the chair of how big the unreserved fund balances are statewide? Because if it's up to 25% of district expenditures statewide, I imagine that's a pretty significant, or can be a pretty significant number. And I'm just wondering if we know how much is retained by school districts right now in what you would characterize as unreserved fund balance, and what the purpose of increasing that ability to retain that fund balance, for increasing it from 10% to 25% of their total expenditures. Why are we doing that, through the chair?
Thank you, Senator.
Through the chair, Senator Birch, I'll defer to Senator Hughes in terms of the reason that she included in the bill, but we can provide to the committee how much is in undesignated reserves for each district and how much is in designated reserves. And in increasing those reserves, I would think would be to provide districts more flexibility, but I'll let Senator Hughes speak to that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Follow up. Yeah, I think the amount, would that be good, but the amount that's in reserves, how much we have basically school districts have in the bank, if you will, that's kind of held, from year over year, that would be good information.
Yeah. Let me just speak. Well, first of all, I think that raising this cap was a discussion a couple of years ago. I think in these tougher times when money's tight, it might be hard for them to really get up to that balance right now. But the idea is twofold, for flexibility, as the commissioner mentioned, but also to encourage efficiencies where they can, so that that they can perhaps do something that is that they'll have the flexibility to do something they feel would be helpful to students. So it's kind of like rollover minutes. And, you've got a big month coming up and a lot of phone calls to make. You might want to roll over those minutes. So it's that concept, and that number of superintendents came and was also something with the some finance committee members that was discussed. I would be curious as to the numbers now, because I think as the belt is tightened, it may be difficult for districts to realize that kind of rollover savings, but it just to give the districts more flexibility.
Thank you, Senator. Is Jim Anderson in the room? Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate everyone's testimony today. Thank you for the information on the fiscal note, and Commissioner for your comments. We will hold public hearing until a later date, and a couple of folks that have signed up that under invited testimony, that we want to make sure we give them an opportunity to speak as well. So at this time, then I'll be setting Senate Bill 79 aside and further review and have a chance to have some public hearing on this. There's no further business coming for us, we're adjourned.